May we help to commence our worship of God this morning with hymn 617, hymn 617, to the tune of Samuel 560, hymn 617. The new man and the old by no means can agree. The one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. The principles of grace and sin, a constant warfare must maintain. One loves to watch and pray and walk in Jesus' path. The other hates the way and loves the road to death. Christ is a new man's boast and joy. Flesh does the old man satisfy. Hymn 617, to tune Samuel 516.
Thank you. read together from the most holy word of God, from Hosea's prophecy. Hosea's prophecy, chapters 13 and 14. Hosea chapters 13 and 14. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Saviour beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a shepherd, a leopard by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion, the wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes? I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as a corn, and grow as a vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, order, solemnize our hearts and minds now, we plead, and might rightly approach unto thee, thou who art most holy. For thou art holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And what are we? Are we not sinners indeed, sinners indeed, whether we know it or not? But oh, bring us each to know and feel our need. And yes, what a mercy that one, the Eternal Son, did condescend to be a man and die, to stand in the room, place and stand of those whom we have loved with an everlasting love. Yes, the Father hath loved them, given them to the Son. And the Son, condescended to be a man and die, and truly did bear the sword of divine justice, and it satisfied the law. It pleased the Father. Well, we shall never by our own works please the Father. For there is sin mixed with all we do, and our very best is stained and dyed, our all is nothing worth. But all the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, we have no other plea but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, may we each be brought there. Bankrupt sinners. Yes. Bankrupt, hell-deserving sinners. With nothing in our hands to bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to thee fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Oh, may it please, take us each in hand. Wash us each in thy precious and atoning blood. Clothe us with that robe of thy righteousness. Oh, we plead then, do have mercy upon us. And as thou hast seen us enter into thy courts this day, we may look the same upon the outward appearance, but thou lookest upon the heart. Oh, may we be brought in that way honest before thee. Search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. For us each be brought in that way to that true confession and godly sorrow for sin. and do grant that grace to forsake those sins. But oh, as we find, do we not, there's warfare and conflict. As we sang in the opening hymn, there is that between the old man of sin and the new man of grace. What shall we see in the Shulamite but the company of two armies? And do we not prove it so? Oh, what warfare, what conflict, what turmoil. And sometimes we feel the enemy will overtake us. Ah, yes, and we're brought to this, are we not? In the midst of conflict, Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Hold, bow me up, and I shall be safe. Oh, how we need Thee to hold us up, keep us close to Thee. How we need Thee to keep us in the hour of temptation. How we need Thee to keep us from bringing shame or reproach upon Thy name. Upon that name which is above every name. The name which has been made precious to us. Oh, how solemn when we see those things take place and those actions of one or another, and it brings shame or reproach upon Thy name and upon Thy church, upon Thy people. Oh, how solemn. Ah, may we view even this day then that which keeps us in that place, humbled under the mighty hand of God, and knowledge of what we are, but also to view one whom we have pierced, to see what it cost Thee, to view what it cost Thee, the Lord of life and glory, to redeem us from the hand of the enemy, to save us from the wrath to come. One who truly did give His life a ransom. Gave His life a ransom. One the just suffering for the unjust. All the Lamb of God once slain. And so we plead in that hour of temptation. Oh, bring us to look to the Lamb. And to look upon one whom we have pierced. And may we be found again and again as those of mourn. Mourn over what they feel within. Mourn over that which is there. Yes, that of the old man. Mourning over it. But seeing that place of safety. That our refuge is in Thee. Oh, enable us to flee to Thee in the hour of temptation. Enable us to look up unto Thee. And so remember us each, we plead. And to remember then, dear sister in the faith, where she is in her home now, and we thank Thee for that measure of restoration unto her. Oh, to watch over her there. Oh, be her all. Oh, be her sufficiency. Be her salvation. Lord, do revive her. Do grant those fresh tokens. Those fresh tokens of Thy love and Thy mercy. Keep the adversary at bay. Oh, keep the adversary at bay, that tormentor. Oh, how he torments thy people. But blessed be God. Ah, a refuge, a refuge. Ah, may she then prove Thee to be her refuge, her strength, a very present help in trouble. Those everlasting arms, and that one that has said, I'll never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. Remember any that find sickness, and we think of the little one, and those things which are found in childhood, but they can affect any age. But Lord, do grant healing mercies, and remember parents that stay at home to care for them. Go to them where they are. Or go to them where they are. Thou art not confined to place or means or mode. But oh, may we never, be forgetful of Thy house and forsake that means that Thou hast provided. That means where we meet together, to meet together in Thy courts. Ah, Lord, we plead then. May there be that stirring up in each one's heart when we're able to ever be found there. Ah, coming up to Thy house. To hear what the Lord might speak with a hunger and thirst after Thee and after Thy righteousness. Oh, we plead then do remember us here as a little church and people, and ask all our need, and if it could please it, build us up according to thy most holy faith. Bring others in, O Lord, whom thou hast a purpose of grace towards. Touch this one or that one in their heart even this day. They might have to even venture in like those Greeks of old. Or with us, sirs, we would see Jesus. Bring back the prodigals, O Lord. There are those that have turned aside. Those that have gone into bypath meadows. There have been those that have been in rebelliousness have gone away. Yes, turned aside into bypath meadow. Ah, they've forsaken thy truths and what thy word declares. Lord, we plead thou canst change the heart and renew the will. No heart is too hard for thee to break and to be made to make willing in the day of thy power. To be made submissive to thy will, and to once again return. Ah, yes, as returning prodigals. Oh, returning prodigals. We plead it might be so. Our mind goes to one another even this day. Ah, none is too far from thee. None is too gone away too far from thine arm, which is not shortened and it cannot save. Put forth thy mighty arm and arrest this one or that one in their mad career. Blight the things of this life, those things which give them pleasure. May they be brought to see that, yes, what are these things? They'll all perish with the using. They cannot satisfy. And the more they obtain it, they want more. It cannot satisfy them or do them any good. Oh, bring them to that point where they would fain eat the husks that the swine would eat. Oh, we plead then, there might be yet those brought to return, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But do remember Zion, we plead for thy servant, our dear friend Michael, where he is at home this day in those circumstances. And it reminds us of a year ago when through our affliction we couldn't journey down there. And so we were found here because of our affliction this time last year, if we remember right. And O Lord, we plead then for him and his, especially his dear one, in her affliction. Oh, do yet, if it could please thee, by those means avail in our day, and thy blessing to rest upon them, that might be that done for her good, for her help and for her healing. O Lord, we commend them and commit them unto thee. And any other that walks in affliction's path, Lord, go to them where they are. And may they prove that, yes, that path of affliction, though bitter to the flesh, they might prove it to be sweet to the soul. Ah, yes, these paths have a natural frame, would rather be we'd rather have them removed from us as soon as possible. We felt it in our own affliction, but we've had to prove this. And blessed be God when we do prove it. When thou dost speak and thou dost grant it, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's in these paths, is it not, we prove how frail we are and how needful thou art. We prove how frail we are, and we prove thy strength, ah, one that is everlasting strength. More as we think back to those few months ago now when we felt so weary with it all, wearied in mind and body and spirit, and wondering where the seam would end, and thou didst come in a moment, even just these words, I am everlasting strength. Yes. Everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And what a mercy then if we're found amongst those bound up in that everlasting covenant, order in all things and sure. Shall they not prove the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in their help and his excellence upon the skies? Oh, they shall prove it. And it's in those times and seasons of affliction and difficulty and trial and tribulation, they prove it. Ah, blessed be God. Ah, we may at times feel, even as a hymn writer put it, I seem forsaken and alone. I hear the lion roar, but every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. And then we prove there's that enlargement of heart. Yes, it may be only in those groanings before thee, but there's that which comes forth, which is real, real from the heart in that petition, which is a groan, a burden of a sigh, a falling of a tear, and the upward glancing of an eye. Oh, how much reality can be in that compared to many words. And thou dost hear and answer and draw near. Oh, we prove the promise to be true. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Lord, remember any then in their afflictions. But as regards Zion, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Oh, do yet build up. Lord, we plead in this day and generation. Let thy work appear. Oh, may it be thy work, not man's work. We can soon put our hand to the cart like Uzzah did in his day. That which would pertain to the Lord. And he put his hand to the cart. Ah, yes, how solemn it was. And Almighty God struck him there. But oh, how we can find at times, yes, our thought in the matter is this, our thought in the matter is that. And we can soon put our hand to the cart. But the work must be thine. And the work is thine. And the power is thine. Lord, then, in order to look to thee, may we watch and wait for thy appearing. And that we might see thy work does appear. It shall appear. It must appear. For thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Lord, remember each of thy servants that have gone forth to labour. May thy blessing be upon their labours. It is with much trembling at times. Yes, an adversary at the right hand to resist. But all may it please him that even that halting lip and a stammering tongue, that thou dost send forth and may be that which is blessed of the Spirit, sent forth in the power of the Spirit, may accomplish that whereto thou sent it. Might be that day in Zion today, a day appointed when thou wilt favour this one and that one. As we then think upon Zion, we also think upon this land, how solemn it is, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Oh, we plead, could it please thee? To us it seems an impossibility, but could it please to turn us once again, and we shall be turned. It might be once again said of this nation, righteousness exalteth a nation, but now is not sin a reproach to us? We sin against light and knowledge. We turn thee the back and not the face. Abominations abound, evil abounds, iniquities abound. Oh, we see those in high places that will promote even more and more sin if they could. Frustrate their evil designs, we plead. But oh, thou canst frustrate their evil designs. Thou canst turn their hearts. And so we plead to have mercy upon those that have the rule over us. Oh, may they yet seek counsel of thee. May they yet see that guidance in and through thy word, but we feel in our day they've forsaken thy word, and they say, do they not, if they do not say it in words, but their actions say, there is no God, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, we plead then, have mercy upon this nation. But we thank thee for thy mercy still. We thank thee for the gathering of a harvest, and that which I have provided food in the way of food for both man and beast. We will praise thy great and holy name. And may we not let any of thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. The world puts it all down to fortune, luck and chance. And we can soon take these things for granted As we arise morning by morning, we go to our cupboards, we go to the shops, and there's a plenty there. But, O Lord, when we think of those in time past, it's not always so. It's not always so. That time may come again when perhaps there'll be that watching carefully and prayerfully for the hand to provide, the hand of God to provide the necessary things day by day. When we think of Warburton's mercies, he proved it in his day and generation. He proved it in his day and generation. Oh, our God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank thee that promise and that power remains, for the gold and silver thine, the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And so we plead to provide for those that have a need. Ah, some of it proved, have we not, in our day and generation, the wonder-working power of God in the provision of our needs in those wonderful ways. But now we would seek for that as regards our never-dying souls. Break the bread of life unto us, satisfy us with thy goodness, and send none empty away. May thy word be a living word, not the dry letter upon the page. The dead letter upon the page, yes, it is, until the Spirit opens up to our understanding. We may take thy word in and those accounts of thy word in a manner that man may naturally according to his understanding. But to spiritually discern these things, oh, grant unto us each that measure of that Spirit's discernment and the teaching of the Spirit in those spiritual things contained in thy word. We might feed upon those, be given that heavenly food, spiritual food this day. Man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Oh, satisfy us with thy goodness and send none empty away. Remember our dear brother at the desk and the burden and exercise there and those services, reading services, and all that pertains to this thy courts. Maintain him, we plead, and his dear one in it all. Pardon and forgive then our sins and our failings and shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious and atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are as follows, God willing. Mr. Michael Ridout, that was engaged for today, is unable to be with us due to the health of his wife. But we're thankful that our brother, who was due to preach at Southampton, has been willing to preach here instead. And Mr. Bernard Burgess is also engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting as helped, and a red sermon during the morning service. And Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach during the evening service. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to sing the first part of hymn 237, part 1, tune as under 664. Let us ask the important question. Brethren, be not too secure what it is to be a Christian, how we may our hearts assure. Vain is all our best devotion, if on false foundations built. True religion's more than notion, something must be known and felt. 'Tis to credit contradictions, talk with him one never sees, cry and groan beneath afflictions, yet to dread the thought of ease. 'Tis to feel the fight against us, yet the victory hoped again, to believe that Christ has cleansed us, though the leprosy remain. Hymn 237, singing the first five verses to the tune Zundel 664.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, the portion that rests upon my spirit we found in the 14th chapter of Hosea, the 14th chapter, and we'll read verse 4. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Hosea, the 14th chapter, and we'll read, and reading verse 4, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Ah, how solemn it was with the children of Israel when they were brought up out of the Egyptian bondage. It didn't seem to be long before they murmured against their God, or they went after the gods of the nations round about. Oh, how they sinned. Yes, they sinned. And as I read, turned to the Word of God yesterday, and this portion here, do we not find it so? Ah, the whole Israel of God, if we're found amongst them, we find oftentimes we sin in thought, word and deed, omission and commission. And like the hymn writer put it, we're often involved. We're often involved. Yes, the hymns we've had today, have there not been that in them, which speaks of that, of the old man of sin and the new man of grace, and that constant warfare, the one striving against the other. Our comfort is that we read, do we not, the elder shall serve the younger. But at times it feels the other way round. And yes, we cannot say we've been without sin. None of us, even here this morning, may be found as members of a church and having put on that open profession, but we find, yes, there is that which is still within, that propensity to sin. The old man doesn't change. The old man will never change. But blessed be God, neither will his mercy. Neither will his mercy. This doesn't give license to sin. God forbid that we should ever sin, because that thought is raised up within that there is grace, there is mercy, therefore we can sin and do as we list, do as we please and live as we list. God forbid that it should ever be so. That's not a work of grace if that is our thought in the matter. Sin must ever be unto us exceedingly sinful. But nevertheless, like the children of Israel, they sinned. I did turn just for a moment on Saturday, and you read that Psalm 106. It speaks of the rebellion, rebelliousness of the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel. The rebelliousness of them. But the psalm begins, does it not, praise you the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. The unchanging faithfulness and mercy and love of God. Through that which he hath accomplished in the sinner's room, place and stead, it cannot change. That love will not withdraw, that love will not forsake them. But yes, there'll be those times of chastening. Those times of chastening. Yes, if we knew not what chastening was, should we not have reason to believe we are a bastard and not a son? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The Word of God declares it. Those chastenings. Ah, Some, as we look upon it, we look upon our children, and perhaps we thought, some have a different spirit than others, and some needed a different chastening. But nevertheless, they all needed chastening in one way or another. And so likewise, we're found amongst those sons and daughters by blessed adoption, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, while we walk here below, while we walk here with that body of sin and death, and those times when there needs be for chastening. But oh, what a mercy when we prove this, no chastening for the present simply joyous, but grievous. But nevertheless, there's a nevertheless. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And we read in Malachi, it is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. We're not consumed, for his mercies fail not. If I quoted that quite right, I'm not sure. I'll turn to it to make sure I have. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Yes. Those times of chastening. Those times when the Lord's people are found even like Jonah. Oh, look again. He is found in the depths, was he not? Oh, look again. Toward thy holy temple. David, when he sinned that great sin with Bathsheba, he brought that true repentance and godly sorrow, was he not? Creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within. So that which is of true religion, that which is a path of a child of God, it's not that whereby he's when he is brought from death unto life and the pardon of his sins, that he'll go on as if there's no more sin, he will not sin anymore. No more need of to cry unto God for mercy. He's found like the children of Israel often, rebellious, in rebellion. Rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still, the hymn writer put it. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. And so the psalmist in that Psalm 106, you read it at your leisure, but it speaks of that, of the path, or the leadings of the Lord, of the children of Israel, when he brought them out of the of Egyptian bondage. But in that fourth verse, remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. O visit me with thy salvation. But oh, how soon they forgot. How soon they forgot. Verse 13 in that psalm, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. Ah, yes, throughout that psalm. But you notice at the end of that, toward the end of that psalm, they also knew what it was to have the enemy oppress them. Yes, Almighty God permitted the enemy to oppress them. So they knew what it was to have the enemy to oppress them. Was it not because the Lord saw fit that it should be so because of their sins? But then they're brought to this. They cried unto the Lord. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, we read, what a mercy. What a mercy, poor sinner, poor trembling one, Jacob. Yes, and you find, yes, you have to confess your sins, your sin, and you have to say there is sin mixed with all I do. I seem to come so short. Sins of thought, word and deed, sins of omission and commission. Yes, the new man of grace would be holy. But the old man of sin will never be holy. The old man of sin will ever remain a man of sin. And that old man of sin is that which will burn the child of God to the end of his days. To the end of his days. And you'll know what it is many a time to cry unto the Lord. And as we read then in Psalm 106, nevertheless, what a mercy that is there. Nevertheless, even though they've turned aside, they've forsaken their God, and they've gone after the gods of man's making, the nations round about them, they murmured against him. Yes, we can soon murmur, even as regards our pathways. Well, the Lord brought the children of Israel up out of Egyptian bondage and brought them into the wilderness. And sometimes that path in the wilderness, like it was with the children of Israel, it seems to be disagreeable to the flesh. Disagreeable to our natural thoughts. We want something rather different than the wilderness. Did they not murmur in this way? They wanted to go back down to Egypt and those things that they had there. Those so-called luxuries that they had there, they murmured over that light bread. Oh, we can't cast a stone at the Israelites. But nevertheless, many times did he deliver them. But they provoked him. How solemn it is. How solemn it is, but the mercy is. Is it not this? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That love which is drawn by those cords of a man, those bands of love which has drawn that poor sinner. Those bands of love will never forsake him. It's an eternal love. And yea, are they not bought with a price? Yes, the sufferings of one that condescended to be a man and die. The eternal Son. God the Son. He took upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, made under the law. Made under the law, yes, so as to be able to satisfy it, for he was spotless, pure and undefiled. But he's made under the law to satisfy that which we've broken time and time again. And through that love he gave himself, his life a ransom. They're his purchased possession. God the Father gave them to the Son, and he declared, did he not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not one shall make shipwreck of faith. Not one shall be cast away. Yes, except the son of perdition. But all those that are by the Spirit born again of the Spirit, to know what it is to walk in the waste howling wilderness with all its trials and temptations there. Now, love will not forsake them, for they are bought with a price. He suffered in their room place instead. He gave his life for ransom. What love there is there. We read in the Gospels, do we not? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Friends. Yes, publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners. Not those who are righteous in and of themselves, in their own sight and in their own feelings, but publicans and sinners. Yea, the Marys and the Manassas. Ah, he hath loved them with an everlasting love. He gave his life a ransom for them. He paid what the law demanded concerning their sins and their iniquities. And he satisfied the law, and it pleased the Father. Oh, how that has been a precious truth unto this poor sinner. But where we will never please through what we might try to do by our works, our strivings, we will never please the Father, because there is sin mixed with all we do. And our very best is stained and dyed, or all is nothing worth. But that which Christ hath done, yea, the friend of sinners hath done, it pleased the Father, and it satisfied the demands of the law, which was eternal death. He gave his life. Then he gave his life, freely gave it, bearing the sword of divine justice in the sinner's room place, and said, the Israel of God. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction, and he heard their cry. We read this in that psalm. And he remembered them for his covenant. That covenant of grace. That covenant of grace. That covenant. It was David's only place of standing, only place of safety, was it not? David proved himself to be, yes, on the one hand, loved of his God, a man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, but he proved this, he was likewise a sinner. Likewise a sinner. And when he was brought to the end of his days, he was still mourning over his sins. He was brought to confess it like this, although my house be not so with God. He saw that which was deficient there through sin. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me. Oh, blessed be God. What a mercy. If that's been made known unto you and I. Sinners to the end of our days, and solemnly still we're sinners upon our dying bed. But David's last words were these, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, a covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure. And yet he had to say this, although he make it not to grow. But nevertheless, that covenant. He remembered them for his covenant, and repented according to the multitude. Take note of that. The multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives, Ah, yes, but the multitude, of his mercies. And so, like those chapters we've read, it enumerates, does it not, the sins of Ephraim, the sins of Israel, in that way the tribes of Israel. Yes, they soon turned after the gods round about them. Ah, they sinned, did they not? They sinned. It's a mercy when the Lord brings to light our sins. It's a solemn thing if in that day of judgment, that is when that is pronounced against a sinner, thou art a sinner, to be condemned to eternal death in that day of judgment. But all to be brought again and again as a repenting sinner. A repenting sinner. I know I've spoken of it before, but it comes to mind again, my late mother, when she was upon her dying bed. I know she walked in the fear of the Lord and eschewed evil. That had been wrought in her heart by the Spirit. But on her dying bed, her sins were a burden to her. And how she had to plead there for the Lord to have mercy upon her. That he might speak once again unto her the words of peace and pardon, to assure her conscience of her part, not in something that she had done, but in the Redeemer's blood, in that which Christ had done. She couldn't be satisfied with past blessings and favours, and what a mercy we have. Yes, what a mercy. Ah, yes, past blessings, past favours. But all on the dying bed, there were still sins. But all there she had to plead, the Lord might have mercy upon her. Returning there in that last moment of life, pleading once again, or look again toward thy holy temple. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And so as we read those chapters there, he speaks, does it not, and out of encouragement, does it not, unto the unto those that return, O Israel, return unto the Lord, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Is it not encouraging here to some rebellious sinner? Ah, yes. Perhaps overtaken in a fault, word or deed, a sin of omission or commission. The Lord has charged home to your conscience by the Holy Spirit, like it was with David in his day. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. And so, like my dear mother upon her dying bed, I believe she knew a little of this. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Yes, there she had to plead for mercy. The Lord will once again speak peace and pardon into her soul. And the Lord heard and answered and delivered. But there is this, O return unto the Lord, Israel. O Israel. Ah, does this come to one poor sinner this day? O Israel, return unto the Lord, thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with thee words. Is that not the Spirit moving within? The Spirit giving that spirit of grace and supplication. Take with you words, not the words of man, but as the Spirit enables. And what are those words? Turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. All iniquity. Not some. Ah, yes, like my dear mother, how solemn we found in that day, rolling as a sweet morsel under our tongue some sin. But all iniquity. All iniquity. And receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We'll not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. No point trusting in anything else. There's no help there. Those things of man's making cannot do any good. Whatever embellished with gold and made to look appealing to the flesh in that dying hour, the end of days, it won't do any good to anyone. It cannot save. But all the mercy is those that are brought to venture, even to venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust in truth. The Lord says here, I will heal their backsliding. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as a corn and grow as a vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. And like Ephraim, what a mercy we brought like that. Stripped of anything of self, brought away from anything else, but all brought to that dependence, depending upon him wholly. What have I to do any more with idols? What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him, I am like a green fir tree, from me as I fruit fell. Ah, fruits of righteousness from one that is righteous, which is Christ. Ah, those blessings of his gospel, which is full and free, made known unto that poor sinner. Turn to it just before I stood up, and those precious truths and that gospel invitation, as we read it in Isaiah chapter 55. Ah, yes. It goes with the text, does it not? I will heal their backsliding, will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Ho, every one that thirsteth. He found then amongst those that thirst. Ah, when there's that need as a sinner, there will be that thirsting. Ah, that very real need. It's known and felt. It's not that which is notion. It's not that which is just, well, we look back, some of us, those years when we had a religion which was no more than that which is of the flesh. We knew no changes. Feared not God in that way. But we feared God in a way which is not the same as that filial fear. That fear which is through love. Had a form of godliness but denied the power. Ah, we had no need of Christ. Because we had no knowledge of sin and the burden of sin within. But when that burden is known and felt, it made that one feel under that burden of sin he will thirst. When one carries a heavy burden, and the heavier that burden gets as that journey goes on, there will naturally be that thirsting. Until that burden is relieved from them. Until a measure of relief is granted. Here's the invitation, Paul said. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. This is not the free will of man that you can take it or leave it. This is that one that is the one that fills his need. Under that burden of sin. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money. It's freely given. Love them freely. This is bound up in that love. Mercy is freely given. Yes, repeating what I believe I spake, quoted earlier. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This is bound up in this wine and milk of the gospel. This is what the prophet speaks of here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, the bankrupt, the out of the way, those that have, they've been stripped of everything. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I will heal their backsliding. I'll love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Yes, that anger. Maybe that chastening, but it's not in anger in that way. It's not to destroy. It's in covenant love. It's in covenant love. Oh, what a mercy in that which we may perceive to be anger. When we prove it is covenant love. Going back to that which I quoted earlier, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous, but nevertheless afterward it yieldeth a peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. The mercies. And as we read in chapter 13, that which he has done for his people, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I'll redeem them from death. Their sins which testified against them. The soul that sinneth it shall die. I'll ransom them from the power of the grave, that which is eternal death. I'll redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Ah, yes, those mercies then. The rebellious, Ephraim, Israel, as we said, how often they rebelled against the Lord. How often they rebelled, and it was so, was it not, again and again. But going back to that Psalm 106, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered them for his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 806, the first part of hymn 806, to the tune of Grasmere 591. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Dry doctrine cannot save us. Blind zeal or false devotion. The feeblest prayer, if faith be there, exceeds all empty notion. Then hail, ye happy mourners, ye will at last be winners by Jesus' blood, the righteous God, now reconciles poor sinners. Hymn 806, tune Grasmere 591.
to be pleased to bless that which is of Thee. May it go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and accomplish that whereto Thou hast sent it as Thy word. But all cover with the mantle of Thy forgiving love anything that Thou hast seen and heard amiss, or blotted out of the minds. May it not be a stumbling block to one or another. But may it please Thee to bless that which is Thine, that which is of Thy word, the word of Thy grace. To be pleased to come once again this evening hour. Grant that strength sufficient for the day, for that hour. And grant unto us each we might come up with that living desire. Sirs, we would see Jesus, so give me Christ or else I die. We must have that which is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Or leave us not to anything which is empty or just of the flesh. But all may it please Thee, bring us each the birth. The birth of the Spirit, that new birth. Marvel not when I say unto Thee, must be born again. And so we plead, take us each in hand. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.